welcome to a new episode of Weekly Papist. We're your hosts, Gio Del Piero and Michael Pekka. I apologize in advance. I'm recovering from a cold this past week, so my voice is relatively shot.
A suspicious cold in, right after the COVID epidemic.
Oh,
interesting.
Right,
interesting, Gio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just kind of skirt over that. Anyway, we're here with a special guest who has, I think, it's obviously an interesting topic, but it's also one I think is very relevant towards young people, and especially those who are in college or who are considering college. Especially as not only do we attend college here, but also a liberal arts college, I think it's a perspective that we either don't get or one that's often, I think, not entirely accurate. So with us today, we have Charlie Atkins. Charlie, don't give yourself an introduction.
All right, so I'm Charlie, and I'm a politics major here. I go to college with Gio and Michael. But the thing I wanted to talk mostly about today was my summer. I spent the entire summer working as a plumbing apprentice. So completely different world than a liberal arts college, of course.
Two polar opposites.
One could say you were a plumber.
Yes. In fact, I was, Michael. And so starting out, the reason I went into this was because I spent a semester in Rome, study abroad, just studying liberal arts, as everyone at our college spends a semester in Rome, and I just got disillusioned with the idea of going to law school. That was my reason for coming here in the first place. I really wanted to go to law school, but I've always had this idea that, like, plumbing is my backup. If I fail, I'll just become a plumber.
Wait, so what started the disillusionment with law school?
You know, it was something about Rome, because I got off social media the entire semester, and I just was focused on my readings and my friends, and it was like the perfect leisure time. Like, I've never really had so much time to, like, exercise good leisure and, like, grow in virtue than I was able to in Rome. And just the lack of, I think, being so connected to the world, especially coming from public high school, I was just online, like, constantly. And not that going to law school and going into a law career would connect you to the world necessarily, but I just loved the idea of kind of being able to just go long periods of time without having to worry about that kind of thing.
So would you say it's kind of like getting away from, like, how, like, the world views you? Because, like, you are on Instagram kind of led to that. Because, like, you know, being a lawyer is, like, very much, like, very powerful position,
right,
I'd say.
Right.
So do you think it was more of, like, the glory?
Yeah,
potentially?
To a certain extent, I wanted the power. I wanted to become a judge, like, on a county level. But
to exert your will over over these people.
Yes, that was definitely an appealing factor for me. But
to hold the gavel in your hand.
Yeah.
I went into
robes,
plumbing just to kind of see what it's like. I wanted to see, okay, is this something that I actually enjoy? I had done some research into it, and a lot of the stuff I found out was, like, striking. Like, a lot of people don't know this, that there's, like, a crazy shortage of all trades right now in America. There's, like, I believe it's around 5 million, like, open positions for trade work that's unfilled. And another thing, for every 10 people that retire in the trades, only around 4 to 6 people enter the trades. So that goes for plumbers, construction, HVAC, electric, glaciers, all sorts of different trades. Like, all of them are going down. And if you look online about this for articles, they'll usually say, oh, it's because the boomer generation is finally starting to, like, get up to retirement age and there's not enough young people. But really the main problem is that all young people are encouraged to go to college.
I was wondering if you could maybe speak on that a little bit. When you were in high school and you were sort of getting to, say, end of junior year, beginning of senior year, like the beginning of the college process, how were trade schools ever talked about? If they were, what was sort of like, how were they sort of described to... You
know, like, they were definitely looked down upon.
Okay.
Like, even, like, in high school, there's kind of the hierarchy of, like, GPA. Mm-hmm. Even the people, like, on the lower end of GPA were like, oh, no, I wouldn't go to trade school. I'm going to community college, and I'm getting my associates, and I'm going to go into computer science or something.
Yeah.
Like, or engineering. Everyone mm-hmm. wants to be, like, doctor, lawyer, engineer.
Well, I can speak from my own experience. Like, this might sound bad, but, like, a lot of people who, like, try out, like, I want to be a doctor or something like that, just aren't able to, like, do the work.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't able, they can't really do, like, the gen sciences that well. And that's only the gen sciences. You have a long ways to go if you want to get through medical school and be a doctor. So it's kind of like it isn't like I think a lot of people tend to go to college that it's not really cut out for them. Like, they'll go and like they'll party and like you know,
some people don't know what they want to do when they come to college.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily.
Right.
But like, how are they taking it? Like, are they taking it seriously? And or they're just viewing college as like, oh, this is something that everyone does. I'm just going to like screw around and have a good time. Like, I think there's like different like ways you can like go to college that might make it like more fruitful.
Well, and I remember especially during like our, because I went to like a more mainstream private Catholic high school, and there was brief mention of trade school. Like, it was kind of like, well, there's this another option, and I think to some extent they did a better job of emphasizing, yeah, college may not be for everyone, but it was still considered like the last resort. Like,
yeah,
if you didn't get into kind of what are considered like the quote-unquote good colleges, and if you ended up finding out, well, maybe community college isn't for you, then it was considered like a last resort.
Right. And there's such an anxiety, especially like because we live in a society where everyone is expected to, you have the opportunity to get rich. If you succeed, you can rise up the social ladder. So there's this anxiety of, oh, what if I fail? What if I fall down the ladder? Like, there's no, like, set, you're going to be okay. And so everyone's worried about, what if I just don't end up getting into the right college? And for the trades, it's actually a lot more of a stable position because if you get good at it, you will always have a job, because especially now with a shortage of people, if you get up in the trades, you can become one of the executives, you can start your own company.
Yeah, you make pretty good money that way, don't you?
So instead of taking out student loans for 4 years, if you go through an apprenticeship, you'll get paid for that time. So at the end of your apprenticeship, instead of in debt, you will have accumulated wealth. And so it's not actually, sure, you won't be making like crazy salaries like lawyers and doctors might be making.
Yeah.
But over time, you will have established like a more stability, if that's what you're looking for. And it might be like more conducive to like the family life than kind of traveling around metropolitan cities, kind of trying to go from this horizontal movement in the market just to get ahead might be just like a more beneficial situation for them.
Well, my cousin-in-law, I guess, right? Cousin-in-law? Yeah. He's actually an electrician over in California, and because of all the wildfires, like, he says his business has been like just exploding because like everyone needs like an electrician to like go in and do work and like, you know, fix the wiring and like add wiring in. He makes good money doing what he does, so.
Right, and so, yeah, the money's not really an issue, but another thing I wanted to talk about was kind of the idea of leisure. So people understand leisure as just like free time, like, oh, I finally have leisure, I can just sit down and watch TV.
Right, like watch, like drink a beer and watch the football game.
But that's not really what leisure is about. Like, like the thing about college is it gives you leisure. And unlike the trades where you're just working and then you're tired, you don't really have time to read, you don't really have time to be with friends. Like, leisure is about more than just like rejuvenating your energy. It's about like growing and pursuing knowledge and making friends and developing a skill that is not like a useful, it has to be something that's not like useful, like learning an instrument, learning how to like make art, stuff like this. This is kind of what the liberal arts is all about, is what I found this semester after coming back from the summer. Because over the summer, sure, it was so much fun. Like, the first time I got to go under a Pier and Beam house, I was a little worried at first because it's a little scary. You've got cockroaches, all sorts of rocks. If you're claustrophobic, if you're afraid of bugs, if you're scared of the dark, any of those, you're gonna have a terrible time. But I got down there, and it was actually like kind of fun because you're just like climbing around down there, working with these pipes. You feel like a beaver down there, like just working, putting stuff together, and it's just like having the skill of the plumber there to kind of train you. And it's like the relationship between a master and apprentice that you wouldn't really get anywhere else. Like, even the relationship between a professor and a student, it's completely different.
Well, I imagine, too, that type of work, that type of work probably, you utilize many different areas of your brain than you would, say, in a classroom at a liberal arts college. Like, it definitely, I think it...
Hands-on.
Yeah, it can help sort of round you out, I guess, in a way.
Right.
It's really kind of funny, because, like, so I was in my organic chemistry lab the other day, and this is like usually hours long. And as I was sitting there counting like drops of liquid and looking at the temperature, like when it would happen, and my teacher came up to me. He's like, "Michael, I'm gonna ask you a question. If you couldn't get any degree in college, where would you go?" And Charlie, like, your stories from the summer inspired me. And I said, "I'd be a plumber." So who knows? Who knows?
Foreshadowing.
The option's always open.
And everyone always says, like, oh, you're going to be dealing with, like, fecal matter. You're going to, you know, it's going to be disgusting. But that's not actually...
That's part of the fun, Charlie.
It's a very small part of the job. Like, we only had to do that, like, a few times when, like, we did service calls and there was this one house. We had to, like, lift the toilet. And, like, yeah, it was bad. But in most cases, like, water leaks, you're just, like... You're just dealing with pipes and water pipes, you know, the copper, the soldering copper pipe together. It's like, it can be enjoyable. It was a fulfilling thing. At the end of the day, I would drive home to the apartment and it would be fulfilling.
Yeah.
Not a lot of jobs, I guess, in the modern world, I think, if you're just sitting in front of a computer all day, you can have that same, like, I put something together like that. I worked on that house.
Yeah. Like OnlyFans.
Oh, jeez. No,
I put that together.
No, but I think that... I built that. No, but I think you make a very good point about this element of fulfillment. Like, this was a theme that was touched upon in the various encyclicals we've read, is that there's supposed to be a sense of dignity to the work and that you're supposed to find a sense of purpose through it. And I think you make this good point that there's a lot of jobs, that even ones that are... you know, theoretically speaking, high paying or will get you that, you know, six-figure salary you've always dreamed of. They may not, you, I don't know if all the times you go home and you feel like you're satisfied in that sense.
Right. It kind of is a thing of like long term, like if you're doing something for a long time, you'll sort of get acclimated to it. So it's really hard to tell just going into something at first, I would say. But
so have you noticed like any like different, like how you approach leisure now, like in like the school year, like if, like, you know, from a few weeks ago versus Rome? Like,
it definitely, have you been more like intentional? It teaches you to value it more. Like, study, people see it as like work. Oh, I have to get some work done. But studying is like, it, we are at leisure in college. If you're in college, like, you are at leisure. Unless you're approaching from the mindset of like, oh, I have to be here so I can get a job, so I can make money. In that case, it would sort of be more like work. But you're here to learn for its own sake, especially with a liberal arts degree. And people in America especially would look down on such a thing. Like, well, everything needs to have a use.
Well, I mean, I would imagine I probably have a different perspective than you guys, being liberal arts majors.
Oh, yeah.
And me being not.
Michael, the future doctor.
Well, and ironically, it's the the liberal arts majors and the trades sort of have this one thing in common, I guess, where there's a tendency for a lot, especially I think younger
people, to hate
people.
STEM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. Of course. But no, to look down on it, except where they're like, on the one hand, it's, oh, that may not be a fulfilling job, but also, like, what's the point of, like you said, this leisure or this time of intentional learning?
Well, that's why I think I'm, like, minoring in theology for that reason. Like, it's not going to help me at all, like...
I would actually disagree with Gio on that point. I think in the trades, it's not so much you look down on, like, doctors, but it's, like, it's almost a caste system or sort of a class difference. Because everyone who went to college is sort of looked at as, oh, that is the upper class. Like, they had the chance to get into a job where they didn't have to do this hard work every day, where my back is not breaking every day.
Well, I bet you I'd clarify. What I meant to say was that, like, in a sense that, like, Americans, like you said, will look down liberal arts education because it's not practical. You also have, for example, like, people in our generation
looking down on the trade schools. Yes, that makes sense.
Well, Charlie, didn't one of the plumbers you're working with, like, comment upon the fact that you're going to college? And, like,
he was
a big fan of that. Kind of like with, like, the caste system almost.
Right. They did look at me differently because I was in college. One of them, because we went to this one guy's house, and he was Bangladeshi, and the Bangladeshi homeowner and my, like, older white plumber just totally did not get along. And we get in the car, and the plumber's like, that Indian guy was just, like, not talking to, like, he was just not communicating well. Like, they couldn't come to an agreement on whether the work should be done. Like, he was trying to, like, haggle with him, basically. And I was like, oh, yeah, the guy is from Bangladesh. And he was like, oh, okay, college boy, basically. And I was like, I mean, to a certain extent, college, it's not, like, just, like, it doesn't just teach you things. It acclimates you to a social class because all your friends, everyone you know, kind of has this shared knowledge to where you're just disconnected from, like, the people that did not go to college.
Like more of, like, the people's man kind of thing.
Right.
Is that maybe
and they wouldn't drink. I talked about how I like sparkling water, and they're like, that's too up here. That's too higher class. Like, I cannot... I'm not going to drink sparkling water.
Well, you mentioned the caste system thing. I remember working, and this was, I think, different, but maybe to some extent a little bit similar, was when I worked in retail both before college and then during the summer, like I mentioned, especially, like, it was more so, like, the older people who worked there, like, oh, yeah, I'm in college, I'm just working for summer, and they were very, like very happy about that. And I don't know if it's maybe for a similar reason, but you can kind of tell there's, like, the... You say you're going to college, and there's, like, a different view of you, in a sense.
Right. And another thing about, like, the differences between the classes, because in America, like, we don't like to talk about, like, classes and as terms of, like, a set thing, but a thing about them is it's, like, virtue, like, The lower classes, I was talking with a professor about this and how they have a stronger sense of, like, what's right and wrong. Like, the lower classes agree with, like, more traditional marriage and they're more religious. Mm-hmm. But statistically, they break those rules of morality more often than the upper class does, even though the upper class has more sort of liberal views on... These virtue issues.
Yeah, like more social issues.
And that was just so confusing to me. I was, like, questioning why, if a people thinks more in alignment with the Christian morality, would they be breaking the Christian morality more? And then I was reading Aristotle's Politics for a class, and Aristotle was talking about how in... the city, how workers and laborers, he was discussing citizenship and whether workers and laborers should be considered, like, citizens of the polis.
Right.
And he said that in many cases, in the ideal city, they should not be given citizenship, because he argued that workers and laborers, because they don't have leisure, they don't have education, that it is impossible for them to be virtuous. It is impossible for them to have citizen virtue that is necessary to participate in government. So, I guess from Aristotle's point of view, and especially in aristocratically run cities, people who labor throughout the day should not be given citizenship. And I just instinctively disagreed with that. I thought, like, that just seems unjust.
Yeah.
Like, these people are doing a necessary work for the city. They're maintaining the city, so they should be given, like, the reward of participating in the city. Yeah. But
well, if you work for the society, I feel like you have greater love for the society. Kind of, right. Like, in terms of, like, home, like, owning a home versus, like, renting an apartment. Like, when you own a home, like, at least, like, I know, like...
More established
roots. More established, yeah. Like, you feel, like, a greater connection to it, and, like, you're more willing to see it prosper. Like, you want to see it, like... You want to see it, like, you know, be more clean, but perhaps... I don't know, maybe I'm incorrect in my assuming of that, but... At least, like, for, like, the laborers of society, the ones who, like, do, like, the backbreaking work, I feel like they'd be more interested in preserving that society.
Right. I think what Aristotle was trying to get at, though, was, like, their ability to make decisions for the society would be poorer than someone who has, like, grown through leisure and education. But I definitely think they have more interest in the preserving the city. So, yeah, I definitely think a balance needs to be struck there. Mm. And definitely a lot of honor needs to be given, especially more honor than is given today to people who do essential work to keep the infrastructure together, to keep buildings going up. It's just more honor needs to be given to men who do these, like, difficult tasks.
They can be dangerous. Too,
oh, dangerous,
I mean,
yeah.
We hear all the time about America's crumbling infrastructure. You know, imagine if you're one of the people who's being employed to help fix that. It's probably not always, you know, the safest place to be.
Right.
Mm. Well, it's kind of interesting because, like, I think, at least personally for me, like, almost like I'd love from a distance. You know, like, it's like, I know it's, like, not great, but, like, I kind of think this way, like, how I approach it. It's like, I appreciate janitors and, like, these other people who do these backbreaking jobs from a distance, but I personally would never do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's, like, maybe, like, a vice on my end.
I've definitely considered going into it. Like,
yeah.
I would love to run a plumbing company, but the thing is, like, all these plumbers that I went with, they had past marriages that had failed. They were either, like, smoking addicts, or they all had big moral flaws. I still looked up to them a ton because they were good at what they did, and they never ripped off people. We went to so many houses and we never once, like, exploited someone. We went there with the mindset of, like, we are serving the homeowner. And so there was a lot of, like, goodness in that, but I feel like the entire the whole person was kind of lacking in all of the plumbers, I would say. And that it kind of put up a conflict in my head about whether or not, like,
well, it's true. If you become a plumber, you will get divorced.
No.
I'm just kidding.
It's a scientifically proven fact.
Yeah, every single one had at least one failed marriage. I thought I had found one, but then, like, after a few times of going with him, he was like, yeah, my first wife, and I was like, dang it. Not another one.
You're like, well, it was worth a shot. But there was one, I forget now. Oh, okay, I remember. So I wonder maybe if you could speak more on, like, you mentioned sort of the wealth versus debt issue, because one of the claims I've heard is, well, on the one hand, like, yeah, you go into college and you take out student loans, you're going to put yourself into debt, but you'll then get a higher paying
higher
job
paying
to
job
make
at the end.
Up for that. Whereas by contrast, you go to trade school, it's, you may not get as high paying of a job, but that you're not being straddled with debt. Based on your experience, how valid would you say that claim is? Like, do you think that generally speaking that's true, or do you think it's more, it needs to be more nuanced?
It depends on your major and how well you did in college, because there are some majors, particularly the liberal arts, that you can't just go into a six-figure job right out of college.
Yeah.
And after in a plumbing apprenticeship, you might be able to get 60 to 80K salary, depending on, of course, like what city you're in and how much work there is around you. But you could feasibly get to like six figures in the trades. The easiest way to do it is owning your own business, but like,
that takes time.
There's these HVAC guys that go around selling new AC systems, and they get commission on these like $20,000 units for big buildings, and they make well over six figures. But the thing is, they have to do sales, and sales is kind of like, I would never do sales. You have to lie to people for a living, or like bend the truth.
Okay,
all
right.
We love salesmen, but.
Well, I think that was one of the appeals, and maybe you can speak more on this, of the politics major, is that to me it kind of struck a nice, I guess Aristotle said, you know, golden mean between the more humanities, liberal arts-based majors, but also the more practical, I guess, hard sciences. Because it's not like strictly political science as you would see in other colleges, but it's still, you know, like it's
philosophical.
But it's more practical as well, to some extent. Would you agree with that assessment, or do you think it's more tipped?
Well, I see a lot of politics majors, particularly at UD, that will go off and do like an internship at Washington, D.C. And I've not had experience with that, but that kind of just doesn't seem wholly appealing to me. And like, you would have to go to law school or go into a think tank and. But yeah, the politics degree is very good for those sorts of things. So I suppose it is a nice balance, but it depends on like what you want to do with
well,
that.
Well, so have you scratched off law school, would you say?
Not entirely.
Okay, so you're still kind of leaning that way? Or what do you think you're doing after college? Are you kind of up in the air about it?
I might try to go back into a trade, actually. But
All right. Okay.
At least for a time, maybe a year, try it out for a longer period of time.
Well, I guess in a way, like, you'd be seeking knowledge for its own sake, then, if you remain at UD. Like, not really, like...
Right, that's what I feel like I'm doing now.
Yeah. I like that.
It's definitely an interesting perspective.
Because before I came to college, I was definitely not, like, the best person. Like, I feel like I've grown so much after coming here.
But that's kind of, like... I don't want to say this. Like, I remember talking about some other people. It's, like, more, like... Like, more traditional people who don't, like, for instance, want, like, their, like, spouse to go to college. Like, you know, like they don't want their wives to go to college. It's like,
but
the home is, like the primary place of education for your kids. You probably want your wife to be college educated because that imparts, like, greater benefits upon, like, having your wife be, like, well knowledgeable and, like, virtuous and, like, understand, like, be, like, liberally educated can really impart, like, can reap a ton of benefits upon, like, the development of like the children.
Oh yeah.
You know. So. Curious.
That's another thing. You don't really see women in trades. There was not a single woman plumber at this like big company.
Well, and it's correct me if I'm wrong on this, kind of to counterbalance it. Like I think it's one of the reasons why, for example, UD, there's I think far more girls than there are guys. Is that girls are more inclined to the liberal arts education than guys are, and then. By contrast, more guys are inclined towards the trades than the women.
Like the hard sciences.
Do you think there's other reasons for why that's the case, or I mean, what was your experience?
A lot of people go into the trades out of necessity. Like, they already have families and they just need a job, and that's some place to start. That will get them going on that.
Mm.
So I feel like there's not really a push to get in the trades for its own sake, other than like the money reasons. Like no one there like was like, man, I just really like working with AC units. I'm gonna go in. I'm
copper
gonna go
pipes?
Do that for a living.
Good times.
But
since I was little, I knew I wanted to be an electrician.
But where would people learn about that stuff? Like, there's not really, there's not anyone advocating for that.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I could be that guy. I could show people that it's not all bad. Like, there are good things in, like, manual labor.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the concept of, like, for example, at a liberal arts college, perhaps saying one of the credits you would need to graduate is a class that dealt more with a hands-on type skill? I mean, I don't know how that would be administered, but just as a concept, how do you feel about that?
At a liberal arts college?
Really, like woodworking or something? Or?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so
I think, yes, I think it could work, but it would have to be, like, an artistic type of thing, like woodworking.
Okay.
Like if you learned a skill,
lab.
No.
You learn some do some distillation.
If I have to suffer, they have to suffer.
Yeah, recrystallization labs.
Yeah, like imagine if you taught someone like how to like carve a tiny little wooden box, and then like later in life, like they're a father and like taught their son how to do that.
Well, it's actually a really interesting Breaking Bad episode. Where Jesse
yes,
made a little box.
Yes, that's exactly what
and
I was thinking about.
He sold it for weed.
So, but wasn't that scene like so beautiful?
Oh, okay, it was
dream,
great.
Like,
messaging.
The box.
Yeah, it was actually great. That was actually a beautiful scene where
it
he
was
like
so,
breaks
yeah,
down.
That's what I'm
and,
thinking
like,
of.
Well, he was at the drug rehabilitation meetings. I didn't finish that show, but I'm not gonna lie. If I had to like do another core class on top of my sciences, and that was
I don't think it should be core.
Or like.
I don't know, man. I would
like metalworking or so.
Metalworking. Okay.
In Rome, actually, there was a group of guys that went to this class in Rome where they learned how to fresco. Like they fresco these little squares of art.
Did you
and
do it?
I did not go. No,
what,
but
just,
my friend.
Too busy plumbing. Or?
No, I went kayaking. Okay, I wanted to be out in the outdoors.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But they came back with these like beautiful little frescoes, and I, you know,
you felt
that's.
Bad.
No, I liked kayaking.
Okay.
Kayaking was much more entertaining to me, but
that's there was fair. Definitely still like an intrinsic
yeah,
value.
Yeah, it was like, wow, that's so
activity.
Nice. Like, how did you learn how to do that in such a short amount of time?
Are you gonna paint your house with these frescoes?
I would love
adorn
to have frescoed ceilings. Like
a fresco
in
plumber,
Rome,
maybe?
Like so many buildings just have these beautiful ceilings, and then you come back to America and you just look up, and there's like. Exposed plumbing.
What you mean you don't like the Charlie's the RA for one of the dorms, and like in his bathroom there's like the ceiling is exposed.
Yes.
You see all the pipes.
I think I saw that at one point. I was like,
but Charlie,
happening?
You don't like that? Doesn't that like you know you're a plumber. You
I mean
know, like,
it does
it gets
take
you going.
Back, but I have to say like it's objectively ugly.
Okay, wait, hold on. Can we talk about your plumbing experiences at UD?
In the past
few weeks. This is so great.
I don't think I've heard this story yet.
You might.
I haven't really been using my plumbing skills except for these minor chances I've gotten because last year the university turned off all the water fountains to the entire campus.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did it either by unplugging a water fountain that like needed electricity or just turning the valve. So it's like so easy just to turn these things back on. And most COVID protocols have just gone away anyway. And so for select few water fountains, I've just like, you know, gone under there and turned them on.
Well, tell them what happened with the Teresa.
Oh. Well, this wasn't entirely my fault, but the dorm that I live in, this was the first one that I turned on, but one of them began to leak. And,
one could say that, yes.
It wasn't terrible until we had a facilities guy come out to work on it. And after the facilities guy messed with it, it was leaking a lot more. All he did was put a rag under there and then screwed the thing back on.
Oh,
so,
hey, it sounds like it worked.
No, I was up at 1 a.m. and the other RA has to get me down there, and there's towels. The carpet is soaked.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like
and
it's like
we had
leaking
a bucket.
All over the place.
It was terrible.
Right?
We had actually one of our residents has had 3 years of experience plumbing, and it was actually a great opportunity. I got to talk to him about it.
Did he feel like a master, and you were like an apprentice?
The thing is, we didn't have any tools. We couldn't do a thing.
So you just looked at it and talked about plumbing?
Yeah, we just talked about plumbing for like a half an hour.
Admiring the pipes of the bonding experience.
Hey, dude, check out that copper pipe right there. It's like, oh, dude, I know. All those plumbing experiences.
That was exactly what it was like. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the angle stop. We were like, oh, we hate these because they always break, and that's why it was leaking, because I won't go into the technical aspects.
The intricacies,
of it,
the beauty.
But you got to get the corner turn.
Just flooding.
Yeah, I mean, they're just watching this just to get destroyed.
Water's
destroyed
up to their waist, and they're like, man, I got.
Yeah, we were thinking about turning the water off to the building, but then, we don't have a meter key for one. And also, I think they lock the water meters, so you can't.
Makes sense.
But that's also a hazard, because what if there's a big leak and whoever's there can't open up the meter box and shut the water off?
Not my problem. It's facility's problem.
Yeah, Michael, my fellow RA.
I wouldn't even know the first thing. I wouldn't even know what to do with the pipes if that happened. I would just be looking at it like, curious.
Problem. How to fix it.
Unknown solution. Time to go back to bed.
We'll have to get our intern to look at it. Asher, get over here.
Oh, yeah. We talked about the intern, right?
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Okay,
last time.
Yeah. We'll get our intern to do it.
Yeah, I asked him if he's done
which,
any work for
no,
you
he
guys.
Hasn't.
And,
he
was
no.
like, oh, I'm coming up with something soon. I have something for him soon.
Really?
But, I mean, he's a busy guy. He's a freshman. He's got to read the Iliad and get his work done.
Do, like, 5 Litrat essays.
Yep. Well, you're paying him good money to, like, not do work for
you're
us?
You're paying him nothing.
Exactly.
I find an acceptable currency. Just give us time.
That is an acceptable currency. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
We should interview him at some point, I think.
Yeah, you should.
Good.
Next casual.
Okay, but the thing is, he needs to come up with a topic that, like, that's kind of how we've been doing things. Like, the people, if they want to be, if people want to be interviewed or whatever, they want to hop on, think of a topic that we would be interested in discussing with you.
Here's a short list.
No, this is a long list.
Okay, I'd say so.
That's why Charlie's
here. Asher actually started a group in Teresa that reads, like, theological documents. We read Augustine on the Trinity one weekend, and just like this. In a group, and everyone like took a paragraph and we read,
and I was
discussed.
Not notified of this.
Nope. It's kind of a freshman thing. I just
hey,
happened
it's still
to show
in
up.
Our same.
It's a great way to plug for the
but
weekly paper.
He would be perfect to discuss something like that on
yeah,
your
you should
show,
do it to
so.
You, and then you can come back and report.
Yeah, see what our intern is up to when.
No, I mean, like, for the episode, you could bring your insights to...
That would be interesting. We could probably do that.
You know, could probably do that.
Connect all aspects of the UD community through the podcast. You know?
Yeah, we really could. Yeah. Okay, sweet. Right. Anything else you want to talk about? Do I get food after this?
Yeah, let's get some canes.
I'm actually really down.
No, we've had canes for 4 days in a row.
And you say that like it's a bad thing.
Okay, Charlie, I'm really hungry. Okay, anyways, this has
been... All right, this has been the Weekly Papist. Next episode, we will get back to an encyclical reading. Yes, no? Was that...
No.
No?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. We will not be getting back
How about
to...
another guest?
I'd like to do more interviews. We should like branch out a little bit more in terms of like what
it's
we read.
It's a good idea.
I'm kind of done with encyclicals.
You should read Aristotle's Politics.
I feel like the big problem with encyclicals, like, they're great like ethical guidelines, but like beyond addressing like really really specific issues of like of that time period, like they aren't really that great, and they're kind of long, and they only have really good specific.
But
examples.
Michael, that's what the Weekly Papist
that was
is
basically
for.
Basically, the entire original
we
purpose.
Read
okay, okay. We
documents.
We do that for people, but who's gonna do that for me?
who's gonna
be the Weekly Papist of the Weekly Papist, Gio?
Someday,
Asher.
Maybe.
That's what Asher's doing.
Asher's gonna have to step up and take charge.
Okay, I'm being too cynical. They're good documents. I highly recommend you read them.
Rerum Novarum.
Good. Yeah. Well, I think it's good to like talk about Catholic.
Yeah, I was listening to that in the car coming home from plumbing once, and you guys were like talking about work.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
How,
no, fair enough.
How like
we'll keep doing encyclicals.
Yeah, I do like the idea of branching
so
out.
Nice.
The interviews, I think, are tremendous. So.
I like the interviews. They're
yeah.
Fun.
Thank you, Charlie, for coming on. This has been a fantastic discussion.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me on. It was great.
We hope to have you on again at some point.
Of course. Yes, definitely. Maybe we can talk about being an electrician. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Excellent. Goodbye.
Take care. Fluxi in aqua et sanguine.